And we continue on Motherlode Views this weekend. We're talking with the CEO and fair manager of the Calaveras County Fairgrounds. Lori Giannini is our guest this weekend. Lori, I know 2020, this past year, has been a challenging time for government agencies, nonprofits, and many in the community. What has it been like this past year, and what's been taking place at the fairgrounds during the past year?
So the fairgrounds and you know, throughout the state of California, I don't think people realize how beneficial the fairgrounds are to a community. Not only the trickle-out income that comes to a community, in our case, our latest numbers were like $5.2 million in 2015, but how we can assist and respond to situations. So we immediately during the shutdown started housing in our RV park essential workers, linemen, nurses, people from out of the area that needed to be here. Then in May, we started having the COVID testing site. And we had the COVID testing site, I think, through October when it moved over here. In addition to those things, I shot a video last October, the fourth week of October, where it was called a Tuesday in August. I mean, August. A Tuesday in August. And on that particular Tuesday, our RV park probably had 30 RVs with essential workers, nurses. We had a fire camp. We had a COVID-19 vaccination clinic. We were housing items and PPEs and everything for Operation Room Key. We were also using another building to house things for Health and Human Services. So essentially, our entire grounds was being used, and we had a fire camp. We were responding to the Mock Fire and then to the Lightning Complex. So our entire facility was being used, and this was just, you know, one day in the month of August. And so that's just a reflection on how important fairgrounds are to the state and to the communities, because we have the ability to respond, and, you know, we have partners, and we're in real have good relationships with the Office of Emergency Services and CAL FIRE and all the things that are needed to respond in a crisis. So that's what we do.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what it would be like if there was no fairgrounds. I mean, I don't know how that would, all those different things that it's serving a purpose for.
I really don't know. And, you know, in 2017 was a bad fire year. And a friend of mine, Pat Conkle, manages the Dixon May Fair. And her facility was actually used as a hospital. So it's, you know, we're Red Cross facilities, we're fire camps, where PG&E, oh, that was the other thing we had going on at the same time, is when we have a PSPS event, a lot of times we will be the staging area for them to house all the equipment for when they have to put everything back up online. So, you know, we've done that when we had the bad storms in the fall. PG&E was also in our parking lot, making, you know, they need a place to stage. And we have these relationships in 71 acres, you know, and lots of parking.
To keep the fairgrounds going, how does the fair receive its funding? Does it receive money from the state, or is it from events?
So events, there was some legislation passed. It was AB 1499, and AB 1499 had some funding in it that was created based on the sales tax of events at fairs that are taxable. And so, and that was statewide, and then it divided up. So we were, during the shutdown, we were given some of that money. Then the 2020 budget had some money for fairs that the governor had. That was 40, I think, $40 million, but a lot of that was focused on the big fairs where, because of the pandemic, they had to do these huge layoffs and payouts, and, you know, they just weren't in the position to do it. So there was some funding there, and that leftover funding has come to us. And then the 2021 budget has some allocations in it. But from 2011 through last year, there was no funding for fairs. We had to be self-sufficient. We had to be entrepreneurial. We had to, you know, that's why foundations have become so important to fairs.
Mm-hmm. So to recap again, as we come to the conclusion of today's show, the big event, May 13th through the 16th, Calaveras County Homecoming, you know, another quick recap of what's going to be taking place.
So we're going to have all of our livestock shows. We're going to have frog jumping. We're going to have fair food. We're going to have a museum. We're going to have junior exhibits, some children's entertainment, arena events, and the parade, some music. But most importantly is a chance for our community to get together and to become, to build that camaraderie back, to see our neighbors, and to just have a time that where people feel really, really good and they're out. And it doesn't matter what you live or how you vote or whatever you do, you're still part of this wonderful community that has this beautiful heritage and has a culture that's welcoming.
I can smell the funnel cakes already.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, looking past that event, will there be other events at the fairgrounds you anticipate over the coming year?
Yes, so we're going to have Celtic Heritage Days in June. Also, we're having a standalone destruction derby in June, because we're not having a destruction derby or a rodeo or a big concert as part of the homecoming.
And any other projects that are on the horizon that we haven't mentioned yet on today's show?
You know, we were funded for through AB5, and with some help from Calaveras County, we are getting a new sewer system, which is really important, so we can continue to respond to fires and other things that our community needs us for. We need to update our sewer system.
You also mentioned the economic impact of the fair, and what was kind of the number that you had put out there?
$5.2 million in 2015. So when we had a shutdown like we did, and especially for these rural communities where that once-a-year fair is just such a boost to their economy, to their TOT taxes, which turns around, and in our county, TOT funds the sheriff and funds the Visitors Bureau and funds all these other things. When your hotels are shut down and you've lost that income, that's huge.
And that takes into account all the businesses and the
trickle-down effect. Yes, and our partners. I mean, our people that we consider family that are our partners. You know, our carnival company hasn't been able to be on the road, you know, for a year. And some of our food vendors and some of our folks that are just, that's what they do for a living. That's what they love. We consider them part of the fair family. It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year on everyone. But when your business and your livelihood is event driven, it's really hard.
Mm-hmm. I noticed during the peak of COVID, the fairgrounds and partners getting creative with even movies were being shown at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, we were doing our drive-in movies, and that's been really great. And we're going to do another series this summer, because our families really enjoyed that, and we had some great sponsors who helped us put that on. That wasn't a real money-making thing for the fairgrounds, but it was more of a, hey, this is who we are, this is what we do, let's do this for our community.
Some great nostalgia, too, of doing a drive-in theater.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it was really fun, really fun.
Well, and you mentioned the RV park as well. Is that open year-round?
It is open year-round, and it's a recreational park and not a residential park. So yes, but it is open year round.
It was exciting to look forward to a big event coming up in Calaveras County. Again, it's the Calaveras County Homecoming, May 13th through the 16th. We've been talking with Lori Giannini, the fair CEO and fair manager of the Calaveras County Fairgrounds. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. We'll see you back next week for more Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. call 532-2460.